Good afternoon. Today is Friday. Yeah, it is.
For some.
The 13th of the month. Yeah. I wonder where that came from.
I'm sure you don't know.
Friday the 13th as a concern?
Superstition.
I wonder what that was about.
It'll be a good research project for you over the weekend.
Not me. I'm looking at Damien.
Damien just left.
Yeah. Apparently, it's not a bad Friday. Out of the room, down the road by now. Oh, this afternoon, we'll talk a little bit about some of the different things that are keeping Humble Bay Fire rolling. Literally, fires.
Fires, medicals.
And worse. Yeah. So we'll talk about what we can talk about when we come back.
Best Spanish language station on the North Coast is Juan 790. Tune in to 790 AM for great music, sports from ESPN, and CNN News en Español. If you're a business owner, ask Juan to connect you with the Spanish-speaking community. You'll be glad you did. Visit Juan online at juan790.com or give us a call at 442-5744. Juan 790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:12. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ken Woods from Humboldt Bay Fire. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. Let's see if we can find one here on the back of the book. Not a funny one, that's for sure.
Not today,
no. No, okay, let's see if we can find something about success. For everything you've missed, you've gained something else. Ralph Waldo Emerson.
That's a good way to look at it.
That's a balancer, isn't it?
Right.
I don't know if it's accurate. I hope it is.
Give you a few examples. Yeah. Not,
yeah, no kidding. Well, boy.
Much time. Right.
So are you promoting somebody? Is that what Dan told me this morning? Was there a new battalion chief or something?
No.
Captain?
No. We're
okay.
Not promoting anybody.
Okay. You're not restructuring, like, what's his name across the street, are you?
No, of course. Assistant Chief Rusty Goodlive left
right
at the end of December.
So
that's part of our consolidation plan. So his position went away. We dropped down from two assistant chiefs down to one. And then...
It's just Billy?
Yeah. Billy takes operations and the prevention side. Right. So he's got a little more on his plate.
Better not get sick.
Yeah, no kidding, right. That's in his contract, no more sickness. And then through the rest of our consolidation plan, we will also drop down two battalion chief's positions, and those will revert to captain's positions when the individuals retire. So again,
maybe that's what Dan was talking about. Was
could
the,
be.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're shrinking our command staff down. And
why?
Well, it's really financial reasons, and when the two agencies were separate before we consolidated, we had duplicated prevention bureaus, duplicated admin-type positions, and this really is the reason for the consolidation is eliminate that duplication, be more leaner and effective, and get more done with less.
You know, when I think lean, I think you.
You...
Got him.
We'll take a 5-minute pause while I smack you.
There may be a medical aid required. I would think it's kind of tough because everybody kind of gets used to what is, and then all of a sudden, if things are shifting around a little bit, how's the team taking this? Is this a challenge? Is this a professional upgrade? I mean, I would think that they're going to end up being about in the same spot as they would have been before.
It's a challenge, but it's always been part of the plan that we've outlined through consolidation. So as we move forward, depending on economic times, of course, you know, we're always looking at ways how we can be more efficient and effective and prioritizing what are the new priorities, what are the biggest priorities. and soliciting input from all the members of the department on where we need to go as an organization, not only just to maintain the services, but we want to improve the services, just like we've done with advanced life support and paramedics, our water rescue program. Those things are enhancements. So we're able to do that, and we're, you know, shrinking and constricting in other areas, but expanding in ways that we think are important and that really benefit the community.
But no surprises.
No great surprises. You know, we're looking at now.
Other than Bill now finding out he can't get
right,
sick.
Well, yeah. Hopefully Bill's not listening. But
no, but Jan is, so yeah, right. You're dead when you go back.
Right, exactly. I won't go back either. But, you know, we're looking at other ways to provide service. So we're currently looking at potentially running a smaller vehicle out of one of our stations to provide service in the way of, because of the increase in medical calls.
Kind of like a triage?
Yeah, squad-type vehicle. And as we did when we went through our truck trial and replacing our fire truck, you know, we want to try things, and we want to make sure that they work. And if they don't work, then we're not going to do it. But we want to establish the trial period and make sure that we're doing our due diligence there and getting our facts, using the data that we have, types of calls, call response times, call locations, those things, and then really coming up with what's the best model to deploy the resources we have or look at a different type of resource.
Would you paint flames on the side of it?
You're not the first one that's asked that. But no.
Well, crud. Never mind that. I mean,
sorry.
If I'm copying somebody,
sorry.
I never, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
If you would like to contribute to the flames.
Flames back or flames up?
Right.
Yeah, out of the hood, yeah.
Right.
Or like those things that they have with the college, you know, the flags on the side.
Right,
yeah. Now, if those were flames, that would be snappy. I know there's been a big push for data collection.
Right.
How far along are you with that?
You know, right now, in connection with the Eureka Police Department, we just purchased a huge upgrade to our dispatch system and the data collection that's a component of that. You know, for the fire department, one area we're looking at is EVL, advanced vehicle location, automated, so that when a call comes in, each of our units will have a transponder, and the dispatcher can immediately dispatch the very closest unit based on the location they're at. So, you know, this is part of that component we're looking to put into place. But the key for us really is the data. So, you know, we have our five stations, and they have their own response jurisdiction. What type of calls recur in that jurisdiction? When do those calls occur? All those things are really critical to how we deploy our resources into the future. If, for instance, we have a lot of fires in one area, you know, that's where we want our truck to be able to respond to in a timely manner. If, you know, we have wildland type calls, calls that need four-wheel drive vehicles, and we want those vehicles at the closest station, that type of thing.
So what was the acronym?
AVL.
AVL. Whew. Okay, that makes sense. I thought it was EVL. I'm looking, great, you bought a system, it's evil. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's beneficial.
Yeah. Well, I would think that having the little truck, so to speak,
right,
would give you a ton of flexibility on where you put it, different days, different times of the day. Now, if you get a bunch of medical aides, let's say Friday afternoons,
right,
in the bar district,
right,
not that we have one in Eureka, but, you know, boom, yeah, you put that guy down there on the corner of First and A.
Are those personal needs?
Well, you know what? Did you get the stretch model?
No.
No. Yeah, and, you know, the rack on the top's too small. I already tested that one.
You in there.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from Ken Woods.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ken Woods. Ken, some of the different challenges I would think that are out there have got to be not on the physicalness, but on the emotional side. Do you guys talk about that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
You know, when you're responding to certain calls?
If you're loaded
for fire, okay, you know what you might run into. Great.
Right.
But there's such a wide spectrum of other things that you guys could run into that just,
right.
I mean, from gruesome to horrific to really just kind of,
yeah. Yeah, you know, the toughest calls are dealing with children, infants, and we run on a lot of medical calls. And those ones that are for children, sudden death type things, accidents, where, you know, you're very focused on trying to save a life, perform the medical type of procedures that you need to do that, but you're not always successful. And it's very difficult on the crews, particularly so many of our guys have young families and children themselves, and it hits home. But the fire service is really a family, and our crews work 48 hours on, 96 off. So they're together in that fire station. They're together all the time for those 48 hours. And it's a great support network. It's a very close-knit organization. When we have an incident like that, we bring in people from the outside and do a critical incident stress debriefing where, you know, the individuals involved on the call, whether it be our own personnel, police officers, the ambulance folks, can sit around and really talk about the incident and discuss what they did, how they did it, and how it's really affecting them, and help them to just get through that initial shock and trauma that comes with dealing with those types of calls.
Are they all badges, or do you bring in, you know, either the trained professionals or the office staff too that might have been involved
somehow? Another one exactly is our dispatchers is just key, because they're the ones to the first point of contact, that they receive the call over the phone. They're talking to the people on scene. They're trying to help them perform CPR or first aid and other things. And then the fire police get there, and then the phone's disconnected, and the dispatchers are left with this trauma of what happened. And a lot of times, you know, we let them know the call didn't end well, but they're part of that situation. They're a key component. And, you know, we've been using primarily sworn people that have experience and history with emergency response, who can really relate and have the skills to talk out the kind of things that are affecting people. And it's been a real benefit.
I would think it's a little bit challenging also, not being psychologists and psychiatrists, to know, okay, does it affect this guy that's showing?
Right.
Or does it affect the guy who's not showing, or vice versa, the guy that's not showing, he's okay.
Yeah, yeah. And that's part of being that closeness of that family-type atmosphere that, you know, when you work with somebody, you can tell a change, and whether they're, you know, more reclusive, whether they're just having problems, and you can point that out. And we have just a great support network where we can get a hold of people quickly to come in and provide assistance and counseling. And, you know, as chief officers in our department, it's a big concern for us, for me. You know, we want to talk to our crews, and our chief officers do a real good job of making contact with the crews after those types of traumatic calls and just checking in, see how people are doing. And sometimes the effects hit individuals days, weeks, even months afterwards. And staying in touch, just knowing our folks, is really important to understanding and seeing when they're having a tough time.
How often do you think it's needed? In a week, say? I mean, we heard about the one guy with the news release earlier in the week, the fire in Eureka.
Right.
Okay. Are you guys dealing with that kind of stuff once a day, once a week, once a month, every once in a while?
You know, that's not that type of specific, where you have a fire and then a medical emergency, someone falls from a ladder. But we're dealing with traumatic injuries every single day, and we're dealing with death on a regular basis. You know, we don't need because we see it so often, it's kind of callous, but you get used to it. You do get programmed to a sense where it doesn't have as big an effect as maybe somebody right off the street, or you wouldn't be able to go through that type of work every single day. But, you know, a few times a year, particularly, as I say, when you have those calls involving infants or children, those are really the big ones. But otherwise, it's dealt with pretty much by the crew and in-house personnel, and we don't have to go outside. So maybe, you know, 3, 4, 5 times a year is when we'll bring in the extra assistance that we need.
When your folks are responding, either for a medical or for a fire, do they run into the abusive stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. We see it with everybody, whether it's children, whether it's adults. We see the abuse on a regular basis. It's constant. It's all over the community, and it's a regular part of the job. You know, we're filing separate reports for Child Protective Services, for Adult Protective Services, when we see situations and instances of even suspected abuse. And it's just a normal routine that we see regularly with the number of calls that we go to.
KINS, News and Information Time, 3:30. We'll try to pick up the general tenor of the show when we come back.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt Bay Fire Chief Ken Woods. So, since last we got together, there have been a couple of fires, some visible, some not so visible. It's interesting. Are you seeing any trends that are going on out there other than just head scratching?
It's pretty steady for us fire-wise. I think, you know, we've had a couple of good side fires behind the mall, particularly transient encampments. And as we start to get into springtime and then drier season, and particularly with the drought, that raises more concerns for us with the drier conditions. Residential structure fires, we had a few. We had one yesterday that was a challenge due to exploding oxygen cylinders, and
that's got to be really dynamic, huh? I mean, you know,
it wakes you up when you get that giant ball of orange. And
does it go blowing past you, or do you just see it as it go up? I mean, what happens
on where you're standing?
Yeah. Well, okay, yeah,
but you may see it.
I'm at the sidewalk standing next to my favorite chief, and there's a event,
right? You'll hear just a big boom. You'll see a real expansion in the fire activity itself, and something may go flying by you. Absolutely.
So you have to have your safety goggles while you're standing there watching the fire.
You have all that stuff.
That kind of stuff.
That's why our guys wear all their equipment, and we want to keep the bystanders back.
Now I know the guys that have the guns wear vests,
right?
Yeah, do fire guys have to wear vests for kind of thing?
They don't. You know, we wear our turnouts, which is our protective clothing, which is pretty thick. It's a couple layers, an inner and an outer layer, but it's not going to protect
you. Canister explodes 15 feet away.
It won't protect you from a projectile. It'll go right through that material. But, you know, our main concern is the heat and being able to take the heat when we go into a fire. We're wearing the self-contained breathing apparatus on our back. We've got the helmets. We've got the face shields on for our air packs as well. So there's protection. But, you know, when things start exploding and pieces start coming around you, we start pulling back.
Quickly?
Yeah. Usually it's a pretty good motivator to move.
Yeah, the old 20-yard sprint.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Now, I've seen you guys training for that, so I now know the application
on
that
important
one.
Important stuff, right.
Holy cow. There's a fire in downtown.
Right.
And I don't, you know, I talk to the cops. Everybody knows the names of these places. I don't. Mm-hmm. The green one behind the old Stanton's restaurant. How's that?
Okay.
Was that just whoops kind of thing? I mean, I saw Bill was out in front talking when I drove by, so it looked like things were pretty well under control at that point. But was there anything, nothing weird in that one either? No projectiles, for example?
No, nothing weird that I can remember that one. And, you know, at my age, they start to run together a lot with these types of calls, so picking out the specifics, but you know, again,
that was a visible one that a lot of folks saw.
Yeah,
a lot
of rush
time, rush hour, and
stuff
there.
Exactly. No, nothing really that stood out from the ordinary on the types of fires that we're going to. You know, it's the ones like yesterday where you have a residential fire in a duplex, cooking fire, food on the stove, oil on the stove, and that's left unattended, that spreads very rapidly, and you arrive on scene and. You know, it's really the bread and butter type fires that we deal with, the residential, and making an attack on the fire crews are doing what they do, and then all of a sudden the explosions start to occur around them, and the fire activity increases rapidly, and it gets your attention, and you don't know exactly what's going on. Again, you're trying to put that fire out and keep your crews safe at the same time.
Hot oil is always interesting.
Yeah, it's never a good combination with open flame.
But, you know, it takes something dropped in there to trigger it off, doesn't it?
Well, you leave it on there
right.
long enough.
Oh, and it just gets to a certain threshold
right.
and
exactly.
whatever that flash point is, and it goes?
It'll go.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't like somebody dropping a Twinkie in it or anything, trying to see if the fire guys or the cops will show up?
I never thought of dropping a Twinkie in it. Sounds like you've experimented.
No, I watch too many food TV shows. Deep fried Twinkie. It's like, what? Are you kidding me?
Right.
Isn't that, you know, it's like deep fried Peep. Now, I would pay for that.
You would.
I want to see if that sucker melts down or if it just continues to be a Peep.
We'll have to stage a.
Even in oil, yeah.
Burn for that and try it out on Fire Prevention Week.
Yeah. Well, you know, and. They would still probably be labeled as fresh peeps, you know, even though it was 6 months
yes,
after Easter.
Yeah, that's true. Not a lot of change there.
Oh, God, those things are nasty. Oh, what about on the medical side? Are you seeing things that are head scratchers for you?
I think for us, the biggest one is the increase in service type calls that we've talked about before. Really, the helping people back into bed that have fallen, that can't get up. They don't necessarily need to go to the hospital. They don't need to see a doctor, but they're just physically incapable of getting themselves back up, whether it's because of a particular illness, you know, whether it's because of their weight, whether it's, who knows, it's just a broad range. But we've seen a significant increase in those types of calls.
Frail?
And frail as well. Although we go to a number of care homes where we're helping put those people back in bed. The staff is not able to, or is part of their contract that they can't, and we show up and we're putting individuals back into bed that have just fallen.
Now, will you guys run with lights on those things?
No. If it comes in as a public assist or a service call, no. We will not respond with lights and siren.
But would that be something for your little flame truck?
Exactly.
To be able to respond to that kind of thing?
Flame truck.
Yeah.
No, you've already titled it. Thanks.
Yeah, well, you know. I'm sure it can be improved on.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see if we can come up with another name, maybe.
But, yeah, yeah, but the paint scheme, I think it's
yeah,
there, man.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, but that's exactly one of those types of calls that would be a potential good resource to use on those. You know, send a couple guys out who are medically trained, because when someone falls, you want to make sure that they are not injured and they don't need to go to the hospital. But if they just need to be, you know, put back up in bed or in a chair, then we can do that.
We just passed what last week was the daylight savings, the push mm-hmm. with the smoke detectors
right.
and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Are people still pulling batteries out of those things?
Yeah, absolutely. Particularly in the residential type hotels that we go to, some apartment complexes. When we make our inspections, you know, a lot of times these batteries are out of the smoke detector. The smoke detector is sitting on a shelf somewhere. And it's just, you know, no matter how much you talk about it, no matter how much the statistics, the data is there to show that smoke detectors save lives, people don't get the message. And we've been to a number of fires where, you know, we go in and there's a smoke detector lying there and the battery's not there, and it could have potentially not only save property damage, but help someone from getting injured.
KINS, News and Information Times, 344. We'll be back with more from Ken Woods.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 346. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ken Woods. Ken, what are some of the stupid things that you guys are running into now, whether it's with medical aid or with some of the other stuff?
You know, the real frustrating things are the accidents that could be have been prevented, particularly when it comes to the elderly and children's. Unattentiveness, particularly, let's say, drowning or burns where you leave a child unattended, whether in a bathtub, whether by a stove, and you go to do something else for a few minutes and you think it's not going to make, you know, that the child will be fine. And we go on those calls where the results are the child dies or the child's badly burned or injured, and just taking that time to stay with that child, to, you know, use the common sense of not leaving a child or an elderly person by themselves is tough for us when we get there, and as things could be have been prevented so easily. So those are tough calls as well, and we just, you know, continually strive to people to be attentive, be watchful, and be careful, particularly around children who can't take care of themselves.
So if the types of calls are changing, mm-hmm. is the volume of calls?
Yeah, the volume of calls is continuing to go up for us. We're seeing an increase, again, in those types of service calls I mentioned. Number of fire alarms that we're responding to are increasing as well.
Fires or fire alarms?
Fire alarms from private security alarm systems. Those are going up. And fires are generally going down as, you know, we hopefully...
Well, if you keep showing up to these places that have the alarms with no fires, eventually you're going to get lucky.
Yeah, once in a while. Once in a while. But, you know, we're out there trying to do education. Our Prevention Bureau on a regular basis, the public service announcements that we do on this station, our newsletter, fire safety tips, our educational things we do out in the community, we hope those are all having a real positive effect. But overall, calls are increasing.
Which is really kind of bizarre when you think about it, because the population isn't.
Right.
I mean, it's
exactly.
It just is intriguing for me. I still remember the old fireboxes. You know, mm-hmm. Myrtle Avenue used to have one at Edgewood. I can remember riding the bike by it all the time.
Right.
Never thinking to pull it or that there would be a need
right.
for some of the medical stuff. You know, unless there's a car crash or something like
sure.
that. I got that.
Right.
But some of the medical stuff, that's just got to be so different, particularly for somebody who's got more than 5 years under their belt, seeing the change in the trend over the period of time that, yeah, you really aren't firemen anymore. You're something else.
It's the fires are a minor amount of the types of calls we respond to. You know, again, the medicals are increasing on just a rapid rate.
Is that true in all markets, all size towns?
It is. And in fact, for us here, we respond to a lot more fires than, say, departments in the Bay Area for average. Their medical calls run in the 80-85%. Ours are about 65%. When we travel, go to other places, trainings, that type of thing, those other firefighters are very intrigued and a little bit envious that we have so many fires that we go to. And, you know, that's why they join the fire service. They want to go to fires and they want to do those kind of things. And it's becoming a lot more of a medical service, particularly in those metropolitan areas.
Well, have fun going with the trend, man.
Thanks.
We've been Talking Shop with Ken Woods. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning.